Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to you by our good friends at Band of Coders. Stone, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I thoroughly enjoyed our lunch, hot and sweet, from, what's the name of that place where you take
Heirloom Barbecue. What is it, Korean and Southern style barbecue?
It's a very interesting fusion of flavors, but I'm well fed, I'm well rested, I'm ready to do this segment. It's going to be a fun one. A little bit later in the program, we're going to visit with President of Core Technologies, Debbie Bennett, and joining her is their Executive Vice President, Eric Eigen. But first up on Atlanta Technology Leaders this afternoon, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Marketing Manager with Make and Build. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Kate Clark. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well.
So Make and Build, what are you guys up to over there?
Making and building things. So we are sort of a fusion between a creative agency and a technology consulting company. So we do everything from design to content to user experience, all the way through big data solutions and mobile and web applications.
Wow. So how long have you been with them?
So I have been with the owners of the company for almost 5 years. So I've been with us since before we were Make and Build.
Wow, pre-Make and Build.
Pre-Make and Build.
Plan and plan. And consider.
Think about. So now, can you share like some of the work you've done with some clients? Anything interesting, exciting that you can talk about?
I really should have checked who I was allowed to talk about before I came here.
Or you don't have to name names, but just give an example of a project that you would that you've recently done.
So we've had a lot of our projects can be anywhere from 3 months to 2 year cycles. So we've spent 2 years helping a company with a security project of theirs, fully overhauling every piece of the back end. Up through another company needed an MVP just to get funding. So we created their initial application, and then now we're developing that into the full-fledged.
So then when you're helping with an MVP, aren't you, you're like almost a partner in the firm, right?
Yeah, it's actually been really exciting. You know, a lot of the feedback that we get is that people kind of love how collaborative it is. We're not just like, you're like, oh, hey, I want to build a mobile app. And we're like, sure, we'll do whatever you want. You know, we try to come in and actually make the best suggestions. And we kind of work all hours of the night. So,
but you're really kind of immersing yourself in their business so you can help them come up with the solution that makes the most sense.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes we do work that we can't talk about. Sometimes we get to do work that other people take credit for. But, you know, we find that a lot of the people that we work with kind of keep coming back. And we try to stay with our projects. So even after the project's completed, you know, we'll do a full transfer of knowledge over to the company, and we're local, so it's very easy to call us if something, you know, breaks or you don't know what it is.
So most of the clients local as well then?
Yes. As of right now, I would say a majority are local, but we're starting to branch out nationally.
Now, what's it like to work in a firm like that? What's the culture like?
Crazy. It's really exciting. So that is probably, if you asked anyone who works for us why they work for us, it would be the culture. We are all friends. Everybody likes each other. The office. So we took over, do you guys know who the Zac Brown Band is?
Uh-huh. Oh,
we
yeah.
took over their old office space on the west side. Cool. So there's like a bunk bedroom. We
really?
Built our own deck. We built our own bar. So there's a keg in-house. We can bring our dogs to work.
What's the coffee situation?
Bettdorf and Bronson right next door.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I go
handy.
Pick it up.
I'm in.
Yeah, if the coffee's bad, we riot. It's
right?
terrible.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So people think we're kidding around about that. No, but
yeah,
that's serious business.
Yeah, no, we're just as serious.
We're very serious about the coffee. So I want to learn more about the process of working with a client, especially on the front end of the engagement, because that's the part that would scare me as a layperson is getting the thing off the ground. Can you walk us through, especially the front end of an engagement?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people who come to us, they either come to us through the grapevine or, you know, they've maybe known us from our previous days.
Right.
And so you kind of come in and you say, hey, we really want to build this mobile app. And maybe you know what you want, or maybe you have no idea what you want. And so we try to come in and really do a lot of learning before we start making suggestions, because some people want something very, very specific. And then some people are looking to overhaul their brand. So we try to find out, you know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? Who's going to be using this? You know, we don't want to create something that's going to break in a year or that you're going to have to overhaul in a year. So the idea is to create something that can last, you know, for 5-10 years and kind of stay relevant.
Do you find that people come in thinking they know what they want, and then after a few insightful questions, they learn that, you know what, we didn't really have nearly as good a handle on this as we thought we did. I sure am glad we sat down and you asked us these questions.
Yes. So I got some really good feedback. You know, since it's on the website, I think I can talk about it. So Silver Pop is a client of ours. And, you know, one of the feedbacks that I got from one of their VPs was that, you know, we didn't come in and just agree blindly to whatever they wanted to do.
Right. Like a yes person. Like, yeah, we can do that. That's a great idea.
Mail the check here.
Yeah. And, you know, and something that, like, it was really fun. Like, so one thing that we do in the office is every 2 weeks we host a lunch and learn. And one of the developers will talk about something they're working on or something they learned about. And, you know, when we present...
And who can go to that?
All of us. Everybody in the company.
It's
I go.
Just company? Or could outside, like your clients, can everybody go? Or it's just an internal company thing?
Right now, it's just internal. It's to kind of keep us sharp and so we all know what each other are working on. Because nothing's better than you coming and me and being like, oh, hey, how's that Silver Pop project? And I'm like, what? Huh? But certainly, we do bring clients in a lot. I mean, that's kind of the perk of having a nice office space is everybody wants to come to you and drink the free beer. So definitely, we're big on education. I mean, clearly, you've seen the kind of the groups we're involved with. So yeah, and that's something that I think like we try to do as we're doing the project. We're not trying to set people up where they don't know how to do something, so they have to use us.
Right.
You know, the idea is we try to educate, you know, the staff that we're working with as well.
So now talk about the community involvement in the groups you're involved with. I was looking at the list and it was like, a couple is interesting, but like, you have like how many?
It
was more than five, right?
It was, we directly run five. And then I'd say we probably house or host at least three more.
You've lost count.
Yeah. So it's so there's kind of a space shortage in Atlanta right now. So a lot of groups are looking for a place where they can hold their events and that's free beer,
tech things
friendly.
Like the important things.
Yeah. So, you know, they're all different. Like some of them are user groups that are focused on learning where you can come.
Can you list them? Do you know
Sure.
You remember
so
all their
I
names?
I can remember them. So our oldest is the Atlanta Spring User Group, Spring being a Java framework.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Atlanta Titanium Developers Group, which is a mobile development tool. Then there is the Atlanta User Experience Group, which is really new and exciting because I think a lot of companies are starting to get more involved in the user experience. And
that's
then,
a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you build an app, but do people like using it?
Right.
And then one of our most recent was the Atlanta Big Data User Group. And certainly those are two hot words that everybody likes to throw around. We participated in the Atlanta Big Data Week, which is I think we are the largest or the second largest city that participates internationally, which has been really fun. And then we are launching Make and Build Geek Nights, which is the real fun time to come out. It's a quarterly happy hour. We get to come out and drink our beer and meet other technologists and creatives and kind of network. And we might do like a drone demonstration. We had King of Pops come out. So
that's a kind of informal, you know, check out our space, but have a good time and network within that group.
Yeah, like, I try to set things up where...
So you're the organizer of all of them?
Yeah.
No, really. Like, your firm does it, or you personally
do it? No, it's
both. I go to all of them.
Man, you must be incredibly well organized with your time.
Is my boss listening? Do you hear this? So I try to. It's a lot to balance, and it's certainly a lot to keep up with. We've been trying to work with a lot of other groups recently where we kind of have some synergy where we take turns coming up with presenters.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Taking turns is a
taking
good plan.
Taking turns is nice. But it's also, it's a lot of fun. I mean, nothing's better than hosting a happy hour where people are still talking about it. I think this year at the Atlanta Big Data Week, people were like, oh, I remember coming last year and you had the best talk. And like, that's totally worth it. It's really nice.
Now, from a business side, what's the strategy of being involved in all that? How does that benefit you as a business?
Oh, I've been doing this in a lot of ways. So key, brand recognition. People start to see the logo.
So all these developers start knowing who you are.
Absolutely. It's a great talent pool for us. So, you know, because we're so focused on learning and kind of keeping up with the latest, the people who go to these kinds of events are typically the kind of people that we would want working for us. It's a great idea exchange. It's a great way to meet clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to give back to the community, too. I mean, Atlanta's been really good to us. So it's sort of the least we can do since, you know, we've been successful here.
So now, if somebody's organizing an event, what are your tips to have a successful event? What are the must-haves?
Keg.
You mentioned that like six times, so I'm assuming. So some
beer,
sort of
pizza,
food or
and
drink.
Coffee. That's
yeah.
So those
we're
going
to add radio. We're going to do remote broadcast as the next one.
So I think a big part is knowing your audience. Kind of know who's going to be coming. Make sure they have clear expectations. You know, don't say that you're going to have free pizza if you're not going to have free pizza.
Right.
Prep them for, you know, what they're going to be learning about.
So learning, is that part of every event that you have some sort of learning?
Mostly. I think that some are more learning focused than others. I think the key, though, is definitely know exactly what you're going to do. Do as much as you can ahead of time so mm-hmm. you're not flying around like crazy the hour before the event, which I'm totally guilty of doing. and ask for help. You know, find out, you know, if anybody wants to help you and find out what they're good at.
Do each of these groups have different personalities?
Yes.
So like
yes.
the Titanium group's different than the Spring group?
Yes. So the Spring group is near and dear to my heart. They were the first group I started. And they're one of maybe three in the country.
So when you first started that, there was no group, right? So you're starting from nothing. So how did you found a list of
a lot of phone calls. Yeah. Hey, do you want to come out to this group? You know, and we called on friends, and fortunately, reputation is indispensable.
Right?
Yeah. And so people were like,
so a strong brand.
Yes.
It shows that you're helping the community and the community wants to help you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and when, you know, when people can see that you're genuinely trying to do something and you genuinely want to give back to the community,
right?
They're willing to come out. And I've had people that are loyal. They have been to almost every event I've had for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. So then they were gentle with me when I was learning and there were a lot of missteps. So
you guys actively hiring, or do you spend a lot of your energy outsourcing and finding good folks to partner with, or how does that piece
we
work?
Are actively hiring.
Yeah?
Positions across the board. Project managers, front-end developers, open source engineers. I know I'm forgetting things. Mobile, especially mobile developers.
Well, you just mentioned talent pool. This is one a marvelous talent pool, so that's an important part of your role, right?
Absolutely. We have someone who is dedicated, and he is awesome, to working with talent and making sure that the right people are coming in. Because you could be really, really great at what you do, but you might not be the right cultural fit.
Mm. Right. Like if you like tea.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have some tea drinkers. We do have some tea drinkers. They have their own section of the office now. You know, and I'll say, like, when I first got hired by the company, I was not on paper what they were looking for. But culturally, I was a good fit. And, man, it's paid off, hopefully, for both of us.
But you seem to really enjoy
it. Comes through. So tell me a little bit more about the sales and marketing piece, because this all looks like it's really important and productive awareness and getting out there. Does your phone ring a lot as a result of this, or do you also have to get out there and knock on doors, or how does the sales and marketing
That's a great question.
That was a fantastic question.
She is the marketing manager.
It took me a minute to get it out, but I thought it was a fantastic question.
Five stars. So a little bit of both. We have been fortunate enough where I would say most of our growth currently has come to us, either based on previous relationships or referrals. It's nice. We have some good relationships with agencies in town where maybe we do something that they don't, or maybe they do something we don't. So there's a lot of sharing of business. And we're just really now starting to kind of go out there and knock on doors. We're getting ambitious. We're saying, you know, hey, we want to take on some big projects. So hopefully we'll have some more cool stuff to be able to share soon.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more about the user groups and get involved there, is there a central location or you go to each one individually?
That is a great question. So if you go to our website, there is an events section and you can see more about the events there. The other thing is I run all of our groups through meetup.com. It is an indispensable tool. I recommend that everyone makes an account and goes out there and finds people that are doing what they're interested in.
So how do you use Meetup? Did that help you like form the early group?
Yes. So everything got started through Meetup. I remember, you know, when I was early in sales, people were like, "Oh, are you on Meetup?" And I'm like, "What is this?" And then I moved here,
yeah,
and I'm like,
"Yeah, of course I am."
Totally. And they moved here, and I figured out really quickly that it's something I needed to get involved with. So, you know, it's great because it gives referrals. So maybe someone goes in and just plugs in what they're interested in, and it'll spit out my group. So it does a little bit of marketing for me.
Right.
It also lets you see, like, where are your friends members of, or how many people are coming to this event, you know, as somebody that you want to meet at this event. A lot of people use it for job hunting. A lot of clients use it for picking up candidates as well. So it's a great chance to kind of start where you're interested and then kind of see where it takes you. And you'll usually discover more groups than you
knew
were out
there. So the first baby step is you just sign up as a user?
Yep.
And then you can be an event organizer?
Yes. So they make it really easy. It's very affordable. Now, they do let you max out at 3 groups. So I function as a co-organizer for several groups and have several groups. In
some random people in your office are the organizer?
A few coworkers.
They don't know what about.
There are ways around it. But it is. I've watched the website and the company grow over the past couple of years, and you know, they're constantly making improvements, and it's just a really easy way to centrally. And there's a lot of sharing. So there's a lot of user groups where I'll promote their events, they'll promote mine, we'll co-sponsor an event. So it allows for a lot of there's a word I want and I can't think of it now.
Like collaboration.
Yeah, cross-pollination between groups, which is nice.
Now, when you're doing the education component, are you out there looking for people to do this, or you handle that internally yourself? Like, who are the speakers typically at these events?
Both. So I was very lucky. When I started the Spring user group, we happened to know a lot of the guys who worked at Spring. So the gentleman who originally wrote Spring MVC came and did my first talk, which, you know, if you're...
That was a lot of street cred.
Yeah, if you're a Spring guy, I was like, yeah. So I was very lucky there. We get a lot of volunteers. I encourage people to volunteer. I encourage people to volunteer their companies. It's a great way to get press for your company. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, volunteer a coworker. You don't have to tell me to do it. Just give me their information.
Right.
So sometimes I have to go out there and I have to find people. But I'm, you know, like with the big data being such a hot topic right now,
there's
people pretty much come to me. Yeah.
I don't want to.
So it's nice when things are popular.
Now, do you personally write code?
No.
So how technical are you?
I know a lot about a little. I can function a little bit with HTML and a little bit through the CMS, but that's about as they keep threatening to
they're gonna make you take a coding class.
Code Academy, here I come. I think it's a wonderful skill to have, and I certainly encourage any young people I meet who are kind of wishy washy. I'm like, just take a class. I'm not
super
technical.
So you're more creative, people-oriented, organizer?
Yeah, creative, people-oriented. I mean, I definitely like the statistical side of things, looking at kind of the work I'm doing and being able to see numbers that are associated with that. But certainly not technical enough that I'm making anything in the office other than coffee.
So what's next for you personally in the next, I don't know, 10 to 18 months? Anything new and different coming down the pike for you?
Oh, that's a great question. We are growing quickly. So part of how the company came to be was it was a side project that blew up way faster than we anticipated. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised to watch us double in size in the next year.
Wow, that's encouraging.
Exciting times.
We're ambitious.
Making and building.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more, have a meaningful conversation with you or somebody else on your team?
Sure. So go to the website, www.makeandbuild.com. We are on Facebook and Twitter. Everything is under Make and Build ATL. And Meetup. If you search Make and Build on Meetup, you can find our user group. And we actually have a happy hour coming up next week. So next Thursday after your guys' show, if you want to come down and have some beer,
there you go.
You're welcome to join.
I think it sounds great. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this afternoon. The energy, Lee, I mean, it went up like 10 notches, whatever those are worth.
Notches.
I was trying to look for a unit of measure. But the energy level, just, I mean, you just absolutely exude energy, and it's exciting. So you're welcome back to my studio anytime. Okay.
Thank you.
It's not really my studio, but I can get
as far
you.
As I That's know how it generous is. I don't know better.
Hey, you gonna hang out with us while we visit with our other guests?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have with us Debbie Bennett and her buddy Eric. How you guys doing?
Good. Great, thank you.
So I got to know, what'd you learn in that last segment, Debbie?
Wow, gosh, she gave us so much information.
It's a hard act to follow, huh?
Yes, you're fired up about making and building, I bet.
I might need a new app now. Yeah, I know where to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call.
So Core Technology, why don't you share a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Core Technology is, okay, in a nutshell, what do we do? We are a communications company, and we have about six different divisions in our company that bring communications into an office. Starting with carrier services, we resell all the major carriers, AT&T, Verizon, also cable services, Comcast, for example. We also install data infrastructure, which would be Cat5 and fiber cable. We install phone systems and program them. We do audiovisual. And we also have a very large IT recycling center in-house. For retired electronic equipment.
Retired old people. Politically
equipment.
Correct way.
Yes.
So, were you involved in getting this company off the ground, or you've known these folks for a while? Or?
My partner Eric and I started the company.
You two started this.
We
company.
Did. Yes.
What were you thinking?
That's my question. Yeah, and it's kind of evolved over the years too, as far as all of our competencies. What were we thinking? We wanted our own business. We didn't want to work for a large corporation. We wanted to be our own boss. Do our own thing. So
she talked you into this, Eric?
She did. She bribed me, and I decided to hang along. And she said, "Hey, you know, why don't we just go out and start taking some people's trash out?" And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, we are here today. So a lot of the stuff that Debbie's talking about when we do the installs, it's really unique because we do it mostly in the federal space, and it's not like we're going to a commercial in any of the Fortune 500 companies. And there's a whole series of different rules and regulations that we have to follow, and there are many things that we can't talk about and say. But it's obviously the unfortunately some of the government agencies are growing, and we're trying to take advantage of that.
You've seen things.
We've seen things.
You don't want to talk about.
We do hold our facility secret clearance, which is really nice, and that's opened up a lot of doors for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now, when you're working at government speed, is that you find that different than regular business speed?
It's not nice.
Well, it all depends on the time of the year. So fiscal year end for the government is coming up in September. So it is really crazy in this quarter. And
they got to spend the money?
That's the
crazy part of that. They have to spend the money.
Michael, get on the phone and sell something.
They have to spend the money.
See, we didn't even know that. If we'd have hung out with you, we'd have known this.
And then we go through a seasonal commercial side of the business on the assets that we recycle. And usually during when school starts or in the summer, wintertime, you know, we get a big peak in the sales.
They're so making money on both ends is the bottom line.
That's what we've learned
right?
here.
Yeah, that's smart.
Now, can you share any success stories?
Oh, boy. I can tell you. Is it okay if I tell our customers on there? Yeah,
so just sure.
I can tell you. Let's see. Right now, we've got a large project going on with the FBI. We're closing out a large job down at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission here downtown. We are finishing up a project with Social Security Administration, EPA. Who else do we have on
now, that? When you start working with the government, is that one of the things that once you get in there, then you can move around to other agencies? Or you have to kind of work each one in its own silo?
Well, both. We've had repeat jobs with the same agency.
Right.
We do a lot of work with GSA, who brings us into different federal agencies mm-hmm. from there. We recently won a large contract with a GSA called the GRITS 2 contract. Eric, I'll let you tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a regional contract that a lot of the agencies, when they're moving into their facilities, they've got to get communications in. And under that contract, we are the provider, or we're one of the providers that they could choose to bring in a POTS line or DSL or their phone line communications.
So you're dealing with the hardware, right? You don't deal with the software at all?
Mostly the hardware, yes. Mm-hmm. Physical installation. Mm-hmm.
So did one or both of you have some experience or a friend of a friend that had cracked the code in getting this government business? Because it seems to me like if you once you crack that code, it opens up a whole new world.
It definitely does. My family have come back from a entrepreneur spirit themselves. My family started a distribution company, and through that business, my family kept on pushing look at other advantages that they could maybe sell their products and services. And then that's when they introduced me to the government arena. And I just went to all the classes and all the boring meetings that they had. And finally, you know, we finally got an opportunity and ended up where, you know, they asked us to do one thing and then it led to another. So
that's one thing. If you do a good job for the government, they'll come back to you and then they'll reuse your services. Yeah.
Now, is there a strategy to be maybe not the primary vendor, but you work with somebody who already has a relationship and you can work through them?
That's been always a challenge because, you know, you can only slice the pie up a certain amount. And typically we take a prime position. We're usually the prime contractor.
So that's the terminology is called the prime
contractor.
And that's the best strategy, or that's what you really want.
That we want to be the prime contractor.
You'll take the other occasionally, but yes. We do. You want the big...
We're generally the prime. Yeah,
you're generally the prime. Now, let's say that you needed, a really charming radio host as part of your project.
Which
does that person
from
have
time to
have been ordained, preordained, and all that, or are they ordained because you've said, "Hey, this"?
Once we put you through our body scanner and let you do all our checks on balances on you, then you're ordained.
So you're trusted enough to bring the other person in or the other company
yes,
in.
Yes, that's correct.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Interesting process.
I know. It's different, and it probably took you a while to navigate, right, to learn the
ins
and outs.
It did, and we're always learning. So.
Been in business for 15 years, and took us a while.
You're probably going to make it. It sounds to me like you're over there. So do you have some words of wisdom or principles or disciplines that, you know, look, these are ditches that we stay in between that you kind of help each other live into that you would share, like principles that you... live by or advice that you would provide?
Let's see. Okay. Never stop trying. Never stop changing. Never stop evolving. How's that?
I think it sounds like fantastic advice.
We've gone through lots of ups and lots of downs, and you just have to regroup and, you know, look at what works and go from there.
So, and your backstory, what did you do? We learned a little bit about he and his family. What did you do in the former life?
My former life, I fell into technology. It wasn't like I had a background or a degree in it. And we started working together. Actually, I met Eric many, many years ago and worked with him in a sales capacity. And then that just evolved into opening up our own company and going from there. So
what's next for you guys?
Well, I think that what's kind of unique about our business is as not only doing the government business, there's a huge part of our business. We just here in the last year moved into and we bought our own building in Norcross. So we've got a 21,000-foot facility there. And when you walk in there, you'll see a lot of this equipment. And we receive thousands and thousands of pieces of electronics from these agencies and from the big companies. And what they want us to do is to make sure that we are recycling the electronics properly. And we have a no landfill policy. And one of the big pushes this year is to try to take the what we considered old equipment and try to remarket it. And through that is the getting more involved in the social media, marketing through eBay, Amazon, and other e-commerce sites. And we've had a little taste of that, and we think that is a big future for us to do that.
Well, you should take Karen's computer with you because the sound's not working. So
we'll
send
that
with you. We'll fix that.
So when you say there's no landfill, so I'm envisioning this big pile of stuff.
Yes, lots of piles of lots of different stuff.
And then different, it gets sorted.
It does.
And so now you have people on staff that are there doing that.
Breaking it apart, separating it by commodity types.
And it all goes to different places. Now, are some of these jobs, and I don't mean this to sound demeaning or condescending, but are some of these jobs the kind that maybe special needs people can and should do? Is there a piece in this supplier delivery chain where...
To a certain extent, you have to know the value of what you're breaking apart. Should I throw it away? Should I keep it? Is it a diamond in the rough? So you have to have a little bit of technology,
Right. But so you guys are employing people.
We are.
Yes.
That's fantastic. So that's part of what the government likes about what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the private sector stuff, In the private sector, what is the pain or what is it that makes them say, hey, we ought to give CORE a call? And if they don't give CORE a call or someone like CORE, if there is anyone like CORE, what is the alternative that they are exercising that is probably not the right thing that they should be doing?
I would think that our first thing that the customers will recognize is the price. Obviously, it being used equipment, you get a huge price point from there. And
the sound probably would work.
Yes, the sound would work. We have technicians that would repair all that.
Right.
But it's fairly new technology. It's amazing how quickly technology changes. And for what, people in the United States, when they look at what they're using for their CPU, it doesn't really change that much. Mm-hmm. But because of the way that the electronics, the cycle of how the companies will replace their machines, a lot of that is still good equipment. And you can get a really good price for the laptops and PCs that we sell now.
It's easy, too, for us to, if you're starting a business, for example, because we have so many competencies that we cover, you can call us and you don't have to call five different people. We can bring your line in. We can set your phones up. We can set your servers up. We can do your phone system, your audio visual. We can do all of that for you in one stop without you having to, call a bunch of different companies.
Yeah, because I don't want to think about all that stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One stop shop kind of thing.
So what type of companies hire for that? Like, do you work with startups or what size companies typically hire you for that kind of work?
We're expanding in the commercial area, remember. We are heavy government right now, but we are expanding. We can do anything from small to very large multi-million dollar complex projects.
But typically on the government side, it's more new equipment. Mm-hmm. We don't do
right, so they're doing the new, and then you're taking their old and then repurposing it.
Yep.
But as you expand to the commercial side, then you guys are going to go out and be in a sales and marketing capacity. So you probably got a lot of value out of this last segment with Kate,
right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
About doing these meetups and creating these communities and trying to serve the community. Because I would think as technical and in some cases, candidly, maybe even as mundane as some of these tasks may seem to some people, it still comes down to relationships.
It does.
In terms in being able to continue to do business in both sectors, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot to learn from Kate's segment on that. So what's the name of your first meetup?
Next week, right? She's just got beer going.
Right. Start there.
We do not have a beer machine. No. We've discussed a margarita machine, but we've not.
That's margarita
Mondays. We do not have a beer keg.
I like it.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, you have a website?
We do. www.coretechinc.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being part of the show.
Thank you
for having us.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, and special thanks again to our good friends at Band of Coders. We will see you next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.